Welcome home. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. It is it's a week to remember around here. First things first, it is our 25th anniversary. Curio Wellness and our friends at Foreign Daughter are presenting 25 stories of glory. Time will not dim the glory of your deeds. They've given me this great shirt. They said, do you want black or orange? And I'm like, those are good choices this time of year. So it's a playoff week. Luke is going to be in Owings Mills this week. It's Pittsburgh week around here for the first place Baltimore Ravens, the only franchise with a healthy quarterback in the division. And of course, we're awaiting all this wild card baseball. Going to be watching baseball all week. Tampa, Texas, Texas, Florida. Luke and I are going to fly somewhere next Monday or Tuesday to continue on for game three. And we're going to play baseball here, I think on Saturday, rain willing. We have this Billy Joel Stevie Nicks thing going on. We got football on Sunday. And Dennis Colazos is going to miss some of it because he's going to be selling cars out of Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. He'll also be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, getting you ready for the weekend. And Dennis, I've owned the place 25 years. I was talking to Leonard Raskin earlier in the week about this. I've owned the place 25 years. There was a day in 1997, before I even owned the station, so this is before there was ever an NST, where we had Cordell Stewart and the Steelers were playing the Ravens at Memorial Stadium, and I got in the car in the fourth quarter and drove down for the Orioles clinch over Seattle. We really can't have that kind of day anymore but we could have a home and away, right? Like on Sunday, schedule comes out, we could have a back-to-back where we're watching the game and then going to the Oriole game. We have this Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks thing. These are first world big city problems where you share a parking lot and the teams hate each other. And we'll find out whether there's any sort of detente around concerts and television times and all that. But we're all going downtown at some point here in the next couple of weeks. If we're lucky enough to get one ticket, spend a couple $100 here and there, and we play more than just a couple. I mean, there's a chance they just play two games this week, lose, and they're out next Wednesday too. That's the way this works. But we're all feeling like this can be a fun ride, and it's something that it's a reason I did Free the Birds, because I felt like this is something we should feel like, not that we're entitled to, but that our city deserves to have this sort of an experience for our fans and our citizens. That's why we just gave them $600 million, right?
Yep. No, I think would be in the best interest of both parties there, the Ravens and the Orioles, both organizations, to come together. They don't even have to cooperate. They have to collaborate, though, for the greater good of the community. And that's how I would approach it if I was the mayor or the governor, whomever can influence John Angelos and Steve Bisciotti to play nice in the sandbox, so to speak, to attract more people downtown and fill up the stadiums and all these other great events that are going on.
There's a long history that I could write about that people don't even know about. Like, you know, the Keith Urban thing, you know, how many times the Orioles have done untoward, awful things to lots of people. And this is a time where the Orioles have the upper hand, right? So they're grandfathered in regard to all of this. And this Billy Joel concert's kind of sitting there. And by the way, I said this to Leonard, I'll say it to you. Can you imagine being the person at the Ravens in charge of concerts or putting on these special events, whether it's lacrosse, Beyonce, whatever is at the stadium? And they come to the beginning of the year with Springsteen's on the road, Taylor Swift's on the road, right? Beyonce's on the road, playing stadiums I'm talking about. Last summer we had that heavy metal thing with Motley Crue and Poison. And a lot of these shows, Pink played the baseball stadium down at Nationals Park, was up in Philly 2 weeks ago. So there are 6, 7, 8 stadium concerts that are traveling the country right now. Nothing bigger than Taylor Swift. Obviously, Springsteen's off right now. Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks have played a whole bunch of stadiums. But if you're the Ravens and you have an opportunity to book Billy Joel whenever you book them, and you're like, yeah, first Saturday in October, we're in Pittsburgh, we're on the road for a month, no problem, let's do this. The Orioles could never play a Saturday night game on October, right? I mean, that's the hardest part for me in all this, because Billy Joel plays all year long. So does Stevie Nicks. They're out. They could make a date anytime they wanted to. I mean, in a football stadium, you want to make it in between, let's say, April and October, right? You're not going to have winter concerts. But to think that they've all sweated this out one way, and we're still sweating it out if you're holding tickets Saturday night as we speak, I'm sure that at some point they'll announce like a time. But when this happens and the show gets banged, and it rains anyway and whatever, They're going to blame Major League Baseball, Dennis. They're going to say Major League Baseball wanted to play that game at 5:30 or whatever, right? They're going to act like they didn't have any, because that's what they've done for 30 years.
Yeah, we go back to, what was it, 2012, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and they had to open up on the road against the Broncos. I mean, that was horrible. It was the tone setter for the season. I believe had that game been played in Baltimore, certainly Peyton Manning wouldn't have thrown for, what, 5 or 7 touchdowns?
Well, it wouldn't have been Peyton Manning here. That's the other thing. It would have been a patsy opponent to start the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. So we start off the season on a wrong foot, and it snowballs from there. Every game in the National Football League is important. So that really left me sour in regards
we're
to
we're the only team in the modern era that hasn't opened at home on that Thursday night. Ever.
Yeah,
and when people say why, because of the baseball owner. I mean, that's really the truth. I mean, they
own the records.
Yeah, I mean, like that is – so when people say to me, are they going to play nice? Dennis, like, I like Wes Moore a lot. And I wrote to Wes Moore the other day, and Wes Moore is allegedly doing the show in 5 weeks, right? What is he doing in a box announcing at least that isn't real? Like, what was – Dennis, I mean, I love the Orioles, and I love the concept of the Orioles, and I love what it means, and I hate the empty seats the last couple of weeks, and I think there's going to be a tanking on the prices for the playoff tickets, because I just don't think they're going to get $500
a
ticket.
Volume of people. Yeah, I agree with you there.
I think I'm going to be able to get in on Saturday for $100 because that's where it's going to be. And all of this shell game that the Angelos family has played in regard to them beating each other up last year, the brothers, and how good the team is. And then on a night when you're packing the stadium, you're about to clinch, you lie to your fan base. Like, you lead them, you show them a Christmas present that isn't a real present. Like, what?
Look, somebody asked
there's
one
no
of my
grown-ups friend... there. And they might win the World Series in 5 weeks. But, boy, it's just dastardly, right? It really is.
One of my friends called me and said, hey, isn't this lease signing great? And I said, maybe, said the farmer. We haven't seen details. We haven't seen anything. And so for me, I was very neutral in how I felt about the announcement, because you know what? I hadn't seen details. And there aren't any details because an agreement hasn't been signed, right? They have a handshake.
Well, this guy,
this
kid's a liar. You know, he told the media he was going to open his books, and now he's running.
Right. Well, we never believe
that.
He's
in the locker room taking champagne showers in front of Stan Charles, who's like, oh, it was beautiful. Stan, ask him a question. That's what you're not there to applaud his champagne bag.
No, Stan asked him a question. He said, hey, where'd you get your shoes? I mean.
It's unbelievable. I'm sitting here watching this on his television network. He's in there getting his little champagne shower, announcing a lease that's fake, and then telling the reporters in the room, you're not allowed to ask him a question.
Yeah,
Dennis,
crazy.
This is, I love sports. I love the Orioles. I love the Ravens, and I could talk about it all day. But at some point, accountability that you and Mr. Koons have to have to the Ford Motor Company, to your customers, to your friends, to your clients, for your good name. These are not good faith people. They're not good faith people.
We're balls and strikes. That's how we are. That's how we run our operation. It's never an I don't know or maybe. Is it a ball or is it a strike? Did it pass or did it fail? In my business, there is no gray area. And if I ran
you don't sell half a car.
I don't sell a half a car. I don't take half a down payment. I mean, it's just, look, it's a ball. It's a strike. And that's the best way I can characterize how we do things versus how the Baltimore Orioles are run. And it's really a shame because the focal point should be on the players, their accomplishments, all the great stuff that they did. Gunnar Henderson, Rookie of the Year. I mean, all kind of awards and accolades coming in for this team. John Means pitching well, coming back from his surgery. Again, This is a fun team, 101 victories. Who would have thunk it at the beginning of the season, even with these other clouds hanging over the organization?
I'm going to say something that I haven't said on the air, but it's flippant, and I've been thinking it, and I want to say it out loud because I haven't shaved today and I overslept this morning, the whole deal. Dennis, they have not won the hearts and minds of the city. I mean, they clinched the pennant the other day with 15, 20,000 empty seats. They've played down there all week. I mean, Saturday night when they give something away, seriously, I mean, Curio gave me the shirt. If they give shirts away that say Jones on the back or, you know, whatever, the fan base buys for goodies and they buy for free stuff and they buy discounted things and they buy $60 memberships for the month. They like, and there aren't that many that do that. This is a time for them to make fans, to make right, to not send Billy Joel fans home pissed off, to like, and they might win, they might lose. That's going to happen on the field. And this whole Angelos thing to me, as I've the last 5 days since the announcement, there wasn't the announcement. And look, my wife and I went down there Wednesday night. My wife went with the Red Sox hat, and the Red Sox had to beat Tampa and couldn't. So I wasn't there the clinch night. I watched that on television. Mm-hmm. I saw Luke sneak in there. I thought he needed more headgear in the locker room. I mean, if they clinch again next week, if they clinch in Texas or Tampa, I'm going to make sure that I bring goggles for him so that he's – and I got a nice rain jacket for him as well. I'll give him my Super Bowl 35 rain jacket. He can wear that one down there. Take it home to Tampa. Maybe we clinch there because we probably would clinch there if they win this week. But there's a point in all of this where this is a time for them to have everyone in the city love them. And have orange flags out on car. I mean, Dennis, you know what this looked like. The Ravens did it twice, and they did it for 20 years. The Orioles aren't there yet. The Orioles aren't there on nights when tickets are $8 and nobody wants to go down to even celebrate.
Let me draw this analogy, because people from our generation have been to this before. You and I were fans of Colts players, but we were not fans of the franchise. We were not fans of the ownership. We were not fans of Bob Irsay. And I think it's the same thing here. I think the fans love the team, but the fans do not love the ownership. They do not love the organization, which is the reason why I think they've had trouble selling tickets through this historical season for the Baltimore Orioles. We were there, 25,000 season ticket holders for the Baltimore Colts, Nestor. But we love the Colts. We love the players. We didn't love Joe Thomas. We didn't love Bob Irsay, but we love the players. And I think that's the same thing that's happening here right now.
Well, we love Gunnar Henderson, you know, you can't not love Adley Rutschman, right?
Oh, come on. I mean, we love
the
players.
The fans come to defense of Kevin Brown. He's been here 5 years broadcasting bad games.
But the fans
He's a good broadcaster. And that's why I don't give them my money, right? And I'm thinking about this over the next month and why John, and I have no idea whether Westmore even knew they were putting that up on the board. I mean, time will tell as to –
yeah.
What the truth is. Right now, Wes doesn't look good sitting with him doing this, right? And Wes may have been set up. And that wouldn't shock me, because that's who these people are.
Can you imagine?
I think John Angelos at this point is thinking, if this team goes on a magic carpet ride, wins some games this week, beats the Astros next week, goes to the World Series, beats the Dodgers, beats the Braves, whatever, that the way people feel about him on October 2nd would change by November 10th, because we've had a parade here. Yes. And that he would then get the statue that his dad always wanted. He won the World Series. And look at how great this is for the city. Look, we've actually got African-Americans at our parade, and they care too, or coming to our games, or other people coming to the games other than the old white folks that go to their games. I mean, I've been to the games 4 times in the last 3 weeks. It's people that were there in 1983. I mean, there's some kids there and whatever, but I'm talking about, Cincinnati was last week, right? And Cincinnati stinks, quarterbacks hurt and all that. It's $200 to get into the Rams game last Monday night. Like, I was on SeatGeek. Like, the Bengals are a real thing in Cincinnati after everyone there hated the owner forever and ever and ever and ever. And nobody ever came to their games, ever. They didn't even have a glory period like the Orioles had 25 glorious years here from 66 into the 90s, right?
Like, they couldn't sell out playoff games when Martin was there. That's a fact. The upper deck was empty. They didn't believe
when Carson Palmer was there. They needed the Steelers fans to come over and fill the seats. Yeah.
That's correct. That is correct. Yeah, they'd be right. It's the same. It's the same dynamic.
But they've managed to do it, though. What I'm saying is, they've managed to build something. If you look at the Las Vegas Golden Knights, right? Team didn't exist 5 years ago. They have a fan base there now. If you go down to Tampa, the Rays can't do anything. Dude, the Tampa Lightning are a strong, well-founded money, skyboxes. Every Coons Ford of Tampa wants a skybox at the hockey games because it's 150 degrees outside, but they sold a brand there. And the owner there, when I have Rick Vaughn's coming on this week, Rick's a longtime Orioles PR guy. He was the architect of the last day at Memorial Stadium back in 1991. Rick's coming on. Rick's been in Tampa for 30 years. And Rick says that hockey team, and the reason it works is the owner is a good guy. He doesn't play a good guy on the radio. He's not a billionaire on a boat down in Jupiter who flies in with a cigar and no socks twice a year and throwing media members out and saying, Ness and Jen, you're too ugly to sit in 513. Get out of the seat you've been in. Like who does this? I don't know. Steve, and then jets in and out. And then the other guy is getting champagne poured on himself in the middle of a born on third, thinks he's hit a triple. Media's not allowed to ask questions. Set the governor up earlier that night. And John thinks he's 4 weeks away from resurrection. That World Series games here, Dennis will be excited. Mr. Coons will want a box next year. Like, that's all that's good. And I'm going to get my $900 million. And when we go play in the World Series in Atlanta, they're going to showcase that neighborhood, and we're going to want that here. And our fans are going to want that here. Wes, they're going to want that here. They're going to want you to give me more money. The Ravens are going to want to do that too, because sports is going to resurrect Baltimore. That's what John's pitching, dude, right? I mean, that really is what John's pitching.
I'm going to give you a quote this morning, Nestor. I know you love quotes as much as I do. Don't waste time watering a dead plant. And think about that one. You can throw as much water as you want to on a dead plant. It's not going to resurrect it. Speaking of resurrection, it's still a dead plant.
Well, the Orioles, are they a dead plant? Or is the Angelos family as an ownership group?
The ownership is. The team isn't right now because of the
all
players.
Of the awful stuff the old man did, the old man never put the governor in his box, put a sign up in the third inning of a baseball game that everybody's watching on a clinch night saying there's a lease and there's no lease.
Yeah, well, there's similarities there, though. You can't, you got the apple on the tree and the apple. They did censor Kevin Brown. So they do have some similarities there.
I can show you the similarities. I can show you my press credential for this week. Luke Jones, approved. Nestor Aparicio, denied. I got that in writing. I got it right off the website this week. So
at least they're still approving Luke. At least we're not totally out of the...
Well, Luke's a nicer guy than I am. You know that. Dennis Galatzos is here. He's a nice guy. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 to 5 with Luke. And that's two nice guys getting together. And then I come in and sort of... I'm the dead plant in the middle of all of this. Dennis, the Ravens, let's get... I mean, we've talked a little civics here, certainly this week. And I'll be on your show again this week on Thursday and again on Sunday.
You know what? I picked the Ravens to win, even when I thought Deshaun Watson was going to be the quarterback, because this is the type of game the Ravens win. Odds are against them. They're a road underdog. But with Deshaun Watson being out, it certainly helped their cause, and the team showed up and played very well.
Well, what do you make of the division, right? I mean, the Bengals.
A mess.
Bengals are in trouble. The Steelers will see this week, and look, it's quiet. Orioles are taking batting practice and watching baseball all day. It's Pittsburgh week. Steelers coming off just a hideous, bad, terrible beat coming home. Tomlin
like
spitting
it.
Fire after.
I don't like it. Trubisky can
trappy,
throw the ball.
Feeling trappy.
Yeah. Trubisky can throw the ball. He's got an arm. Now, his arm isn't always accurate, but he's got a live arm. He can throw the ball. I'm more worried about the Steelers matchup than I was about the Browns matchup, if that makes sense to anyone.
Well, Trubisky's probably a better quarterback than this kid, right?
He is a better quarterback. Yeah, he is a better quarterback. Pickett, they're trying to make Pickett something he isn't. Let's see what happens if Pittsburgh runs Jalen Warren. But then again, the Ravens are playing some pretty good defense. This Roquan Smith is a dude. He gave the Browns some bulletin board material that made my head spin as an old school guy. And he went out there, and I mean, he was, 10 tackles? And even Myles Garrett, I don't know if you saw his quote, he said, you know what, that guy, he said, I've never played with a linebacker like that. And I have friends on this team, but I've never had a linebacker. I've never seen a guy who does the same thing, not only Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. He said, you talk about a leader? Wow. And his mouth wrote a check that his body cashed Sunday, Nestor.
Well, if there is a Purple Rain 3 at the end of this, I will not be the guy writing it. But I would say – DaCosta's demons on the Earl Thomas signing.
Yep.
And, this franchise, knowing what Anquan Boldin did, knowing what Matt Burke did, knowing where Trevor Price was, even though they didn't win during that era, knowing that you where what Ray Lewis was and what Patrick Queen didn't wind up being, right? And what C.J. Mosley can very much be. I mean, C.J. they almost beat Patrick Mahomes the other night, right? C.J. Yeah. Mosley still running around, and And for me, I've known all the players until Chad threw me out. C.J. Mosley's a guy you want to know. C.J. Mosley is a guy that if you had him to your house at Thanksgiving, if you were at a barbecue with C.J., if you went to dinner, if you were on a plane with C.J.'s a great guy. And I think spent a lot of time injured here, but a very intellectually aware dude when it comes to football and being smart and still, you know, playing at the highest level, trying to win on a bad team up there. Not for him, but when Roquan Smith was available and Eric in the middle of the season said, we're going to have to give him a fortune. We got cap issues and all that, but we get a Ray Lewis kind of player around here for the next 5 years that we can build around. And at that time, not really sure what's going on with Lamar, right? Like in a real sense, like whether Lamar was going to be a Saint this year because they were going to bring him a bag of money and some draft picks for us. And the Ravens were going to say no mas to a $300 million guaranteed deal because that's where Steve was on it, right? I'm sure Steve's saying, Eric, well, I love the kid and I'll give the kid money, but let's not do what the Browns did, which is give all this money to Deshaun Watson. Now we're talking rotator cuff. Did you hear the rotator cuff thing?
I did. That's not good. And not only that, but they also traded their second best quarterback, right? You get this fifth round draft pick who's not ready for prime time. I tell you what, it's just a case study in ineptitude, this organization for sure. Unbelievable. And you know what? The other thing I saw yesterday was that the Chicago Bears have not won a game since they traded away Roquan Smith. They've lost 14 straight ball games.
That's unbelievable.
Hard to imagine, isn't it?
Well, so I wanted to bring praise for John Harbaugh in this segment because I bring enough damnation for him as he deserves. But in regard to Roquan Smith and Eric picking him up a year ago and bringing him in, giving him all of Patrick Queen's money, right? And knowing that Patrick Queen was going to have to suck it up and be number two the way Ed Reed did here forever, right? And yeah. And Patrick Queen will get his bag of money. And I hope he stays healthy. I like Patrick Queen. Just, I like Patrick Queen. So I want him to excel in whatever role that is for him. But Roquan Smith, every time his name comes up, you're like, he's a dude. I wrote literally in my column today, he's a dude.
He's a dude.
And Eric knew he was a dude. And the Bears must just be a cesspool of a place to work, just in a general sense, that they would let a guy of this character and this ticker, this is the guy you build around, not the guy you say get out. And in regard to the Ravens, that the minute they brought him in, they didn't win. They played in the playoffs last year, overmatched. But for him in the offseason, all the Lamar, all that nonsense, he goes back to Georgia. I'll tell you what, for me, this is an Eric and John victory in a big way, to give him the oxygen that he needs to be the leader that Marlon Humphrey, who's a pretend leader. I mean, I am not a Marlon Humphrey guy, just in general. And
clearly,
Luke, by the way, Luke has become an anti-Stanley guy. Luke has become are you going to get on the field or are you not? Not as a personality, but the same thing can be said for Marlon Humphrey at this point too. Like, we're getting to this point now where it's like, all right, you want all the money and you want to be a leader, but you got to play. You got to play. And Roquan Smith, I think the Ravens knew this about Marlon Humphrey. They knew what Calais Campbell was for this team in recent times. Roquan Smith is the reason they will win a Super Bowl. And I said that before the season began. I'm the guy in August who said to you, the defense will be better than the offense because I like the leadership of the defense. And I like the fact that the defense is second year with McDonald. I like that John stalked this kid McDonald from the minute he met him and said, that's going to be my guy. And yeah. And so far, they're the strength of the team.
You can see McDonald at some point replacing Harbaugh if somebody else doesn't poach him. Hopefully, they'll do a same deal that they did with DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome in terms of keeping them in the fold if they can, depending on how long John has a fire in the belly to keep coaching. But Roquan Smith is a phenomenal player, and we noticed how he led that defense against the Bengals on the road last season. I mean, they shut him down. If it wasn't for that, a 14-point turnaround at the goal line with that ill-advised fumble by Tyler Huntley, Ravens would have advanced in that game. There's no doubt in anyone's mind about that. But I think that's been the story this year is how the defense has played, never mind the offense. And just a quick point about Stanley and Humphrey. If I'm DaCosta, I'm drafting a left tackle and a cornerback with my first two picks in the 2024 NFL draft.
Dennis Colatzos is here. He is the Colatzos Show out on the Twitter thing, as well as his name. He will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, again on Sunday morning. Any other observations from the game? I want to give you a little oxygen to talk some football here because we've talked so much about the stadium and Billy Joel and playoffs and rest. And I mean, we're going to be into pitching rest this week. We're going to be watching baseball a week. But for the Steelers to be down, for the Bengals to be down, and the Browns to be down, and the Ravens, I mean, it's a pedestrian 3-1 to me, and they could easily, they should be 4-0. I mean, they should be 4-0 that, and they're not playing tough teams. They don't have a particularly tough schedule. You talk about the Chiefs and the Bills. We're watching. They don't have to play those teams at all. We'll worry about them in January, but you start stacking these wins up the way they are right now. They have this big trip coming next week to London. You know, Titans looked okay too this week. Yeah. The Lions are a decent team. Arizona has proven to be better than we thought. So these next couple of weeks down the line, but in the division, it sure feels like they can pick up. I mean, I don't know if they've been 3-0 in the division on the road by my birthday ever. They don't usually play these games. Three in a row in the division on the road against all backup quarterbacks or a broken quarterback in the case of Burrow. This is a dream start to their season. And the Orioles taking all the oxygen out of the room for whatever problems that they might have. They're going to be 5-1, 6-2. By the time the Orioles have the World Series parade, Dennis, they're going to be in first place. The Ravens, I'm not worried about them.
They will. They're in a position not only to sweep the division on the road, but it's hard to see them losing at home against these three teams. So they put themselves in position to potentially go 6-0 in the division, which would be phenomenal. But getting Tyler Linderbaum back was huge. Looks like Marcus Williams should be back this week. Some of these players, that injured players, and they start coming off and making a difference. And we saw Tyler Linderbaum was a huge difference maker on that offensive line. They still have some trouble with the tackles, especially when Morgan Moses went down. But look, you got to love the vibe of the team. Lamar Jackson, I know he's making some safe throws, and it was good to see him air one out to Zay Flowers. That guy's special. But he's the second most accurate quarterback in the NFL behind Justin Herbert these days. So his accuracy is there. His confidence is there. That pass he dropped in the bucket, that dime he dropped to Melvin Gordon was just an amazing pass. So it's just good to see the offense and the defense keep taking steps forward.
Well, and protecting him and keeping him safe and getting back and back on the field. I mean, we haven't mentioned Bateman. There's another number one pick that's just what's up with him. Linderbaum, you talk about a difference maker. He's a dude. I mean, when he's healthy, and he's had health issues as well as far as all that, missing some games. But having him back out there,
huge.
The running game by committee, I mean, J.K. Dobbins is long gone. This whole notion that's going to be a little bit of gossip, and we'll see how it goes, and Justice Hill holding on to the football and probably the most topside. But the way that they used to win football games, grinding it out, being in 2nd and 3, 2nd and 4, I see that happening, and I see them playing safe football. That they didn't need to throw the ball down the field and have Lamar be a magician on Sunday. Just play defense, get first downs, run good plays on first down, get yourself in a position on second down to get another first down, and not beat yourself. Don't put the ball on the ground, right? Don't make stupid mistakes. Don't have special teams problems. You know, don't fumble the ball.
And talk about it, dude. What about Kyle Hamilton? My goodness, he just looks great. Clowney was all over this kid in the backfield. Kyle Van Noy, right? Just picked him up and said, here you go. You're going to play. Another guy who made a difference. They just keep adding pieces, and it's a credit to the players they're selecting and also the coaching staff and putting them in a position to make plays and be successful. The Browns are completely overmatched with a working quarterback, but still, those are sometimes trap games, the kind of games that can put you to the defense to sleep. And didn't happen with the Ravens. You got to give them a lot of credit for showing up and shutting them down.
You worried about the Orioles having to have BP this rest, for me, no. I'm real happy about the rest. And if the rest doesn't work out, if the rest turns to rust and they get eliminated in 3 games against Tampa next week, I'm not going to go back and say, well, I wanted to play Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. No way. How they would prepare. And I really, in regard to Elias and Medell and the people running the team, aside from the maniac kid that we've talked about at length, whatever they're doing this week to check their chakras and to get their pitches in and to get their sports science in and to get their nutrition in and to oversleep the way I did on Monday morning, this is good. They're not going fishing. They're not going off to the Caribbean. They're not having a weekend bender in Vegas. They're not going up to Atlantic City to bet games like Michael Jordan. They're going to mellow out, watch some baseball, and have this excitement and anticipation build. And I really hope that they feel fresh on Saturday when they play. And I mean, the weather's not supposed to be great Saturday. So whenever they play, the fresher they are, having watched what their bullpen went through 2 or 3 weeks ago, and watching those starters go out last week, including Means, and really look sharp. And I know the Nationals and the Red Sox had one foot on the golf course in the end of the season, but they were throwing strikes. They were working fast. They were doing the things you needed to do at home last week. This is as good as it gets. This is their best chance to win a World Series. And I don't want to hear about next year, the next year, the next year. No. They will never be in this position where there's no Yankees, there's no Red Sox. I mean, the Rangers don't even have their number one starter. If they wind up in that, whoever gets here this week is going to be tired, right? I mean, unless Tampa wins two games in 16 innings and it's just a walkover and they get a couple, and that's possible too, but you hope for a dogfight for Tampa and Texas all week for all these wild. I mean, the Phillies were playing up the road as well, watching all this baseball, but this is as good as it gets. And I really hope, not for John Angelos, but for my friend Melanie in Dundalk and for Alan McCallum and his sister, and for anybody in your life who's watched the Orioles and suffered all these years, I really hope this is a special month for these people. I really do.
You and I both, and like you, I'm gonna sit there and get my tickets closer to game time than paying a premium. One of my guys, he got some tickets behind home plate for Saturday's game for him and his dad. $650 a piece, Nestor, $1,300. That's a steep price to pay to watch a ball game.
Game one. We're not even to the World Series yet. I mean, no, for me, no. Part of this is, just so you know, I'll tell you this on the air or off the air, Dennis, by the way. Luke and I are planning traveling next week to either Arlington or Tampa. We have flights arranged. They have denied my press credential, but I'm going to get a ticket and go enjoy myself on the road. Luke's going to be in the press box, and I'm going to go work. I'll do the Melanie Newman role of in the stands. I'll be the in the stands guy. And I'll take some – I'm going to have some fun. I've earned fun. I deserve fun.
Good for you.
I deserve fun through all this, which is my friends at Curio gave me a fun shirt. I have Orioles shirt. By the way, Dennis, if I could find the other shirt, hold on a second here. I'm going to find this on the ground. I bought this walking out of the stadium the other night. I left the stadium. We were hoping for the clinch. It's Wednesday night, seventh inning. Friggin' Red Sox are losing 6-0 in the ninth inning, and the Orioles were winning whatever it was, 7-1, whatever the game was. I'm like, I'm going to go home. 9:15. We're walking up Pratt Street in front of where I did the nasty naked run, in front of what was Balls and Hooters. It's now the Balls. It's now the Tap House or whatever it's called, Ale House. Guy selling his shirts just like this, regular, cotton T-shirts, and they had a saying on them. And I walked by, and I saw orange shirts and black shirts like this, and I'm like, I walk by and I walk 50 paces past, and the guy wanted $10 for the shirt. I said to Jen, I'm like, I got to go back and get that shirt. And I didn't know Curio was going to give me a sponsor shirt to wear, but I'm going to wear this next week, either in Arlington or in Tampa. This is going to be, I'm going to wear this underneath my Orioles shirt, my orange jersey. You ready?
Oh, I like that. Absolutely. Right? It's always the case.
Baltimore versus everybody. So that's it. That's an appropriate shirt for me. Hope it doesn't shrink up. I got a medium as well. Dennis, what's going on in your lot? I know, other than Orioles fever, have you gotten orange shirts for everybody at Coons Baltimore Ford?
Oh, we have orange shirts. We have purple shirts. We have, you name it. We have it. We're supporting and supporting Ford Motor Company. We have more vehicles than most, about close to 300, approaching 300 brand new cars, trucks, and SUVs in our lot, close to 200 pre-loved vehicles as well. And deals are great. We had a phenomenal weekend, saved folks a bunch of money and got some nice trade-ins. So best time to buy a vehicle from Coons Ford of Baltimore is right here, right now.
I'm appreciative to all the legacy of Henry Ford, Mr. Ford, all the Fords, for leaving the AM radio in the car. I need to say that. give me just a quick car primer. If I'm in the market to get a car that plugs in, what do you tell me about that car? I mean, I've never had a car that plugs in. My kid has one.
We have a Mach-E, which is a Mustang, which is a phenomenal vehicle. The GT will give you 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. We have the Lightning, with the F-150 Lightning, with the frunk. It's got a big trunk on the front. You can put all your items in. Just really, really good stuff. with Ford Motor Company with their plug-ins and electric vehicles, and that's the way it's going.
I like your cinema lighting. It looks good. It looks good. Yeah. Dennis Colatos is here. Please go find him anywhere. Cars, new and pre-loved, are sold. Get over to Security Boulevard, just outside the Beltway. Big things going over Security Security Square area, too, over there. We have Wisemart. Biggest Wise in the area is right around the corner from Dennis's dealership. He'll be here on Thursday, 3 until 5, driving you home and then getting you ready on Sunday morning for game two. Steelers the week. This is a week I have to pinch myself and say I'm still glad to be. I'm glad I lived long enough to experience this. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking crab cakes, baseball, football, beating the Steelers, beating whoever we play this week, and celebrating with Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks. We're WNST. Stay with us.